This is the son of PCJ. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is Media Network Plus.
Well, hello, friends. It's very nice to have you with us for another edition of the program. Keith Parent here with you today. Coming up on today's program, we're going to be reviewing the Baofeng UV-5R. Now, this is not just an ordinary receiver. No, it's not. It's a VHF UHF transceiver. Our own Dan Hensley has had one for a little while now and will be joining us to talk about this affordable HT. Also on the program, we have some highlights of some upcoming programs and, of course, our weekly look at propagation. So, stay tuned. This is Media Network Plus, the program that takes geek talk and makes it sound even more geeky. But first, here's our own Paulette McQuarrie with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
Euronews unveiled plans to launch a 24-hour rolling news service in Athens, to be followed by a second local newsroom in Budapest next year. The Greek service will be Euronews' 12th local language service and will be the first to be based around a local newsroom. Vasilis Bitsis has been appointed channel director in charge of a staff of about 40. Euronews is currently recruiting 24 journalists and 10 technical and administrative staff in Greece. The Hungarian service will launch next year, with recruitment to begin this week. At a news conference in Paris, Euronews CEO Michael Peters announced plans to open new bureaus in Washington, D.C., Istanbul, and Dubai. The company also plans to move to a new 10,000-square-meter global headquarters in the Confluence district of Lyon in 2014. Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's Arabic language service for Iraqi audiences, Radio Free Iraq, was recently awarded excellence in reporting. On August 21st, provincial authorities in the southern port city of Basra awarded Radio Free Iraq and Basra-based reporter Abdelkarim Al-Amiri with the Bait al-Hikma Award for innovation and excellence for the coverage of cultural and social affairs in the province. The reports noted for distinction included coverage of the reaction of residents of Fah to military presence in their city, the impact of technology on the rituals of Ramadan, and exploring how young Basra students spent their summer break. In Cambodia, the owner of Beehive Radio was sentenced to 20 years in prison for inciting violence. We have this report from Radio Free Asia.
Radio station owner Mam Sonando was bundled into a prison van on Monday after a Cambodian court sentenced him to 20 years in prison for instigating an anti-government rebellion. The 71-year-old Beehive radio owner told reporters that he was happy and proud to continue helping the Khmer people. Hundreds of supporters gathered near the courthouse, which was surrounded by riot police. Mam Sonando was arrested in July for allegedly inciting an armed clash between villagers and security forces in a land dispute. He has denied the charges. Human rights groups have said Monday's verdict was politically motivated. Mam Sonando's wife, Din Sofanara, told reporters that he plans to appeal the verdict. She said her husband was not involved in the incident, but still received a harsh sentence. Mam Sonando has 30 days to appeal the verdict against him.
North Korea's Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un presides over a state where the media is the least free in the world and where accessing the output of foreign news organizations is a criminal offense. In the corridors of the BBC World Service, there is a growing feeling that something needs to be done about this. The world's largest international broadcaster, recently relocated to new offices in the refurbished broadcasting house, currently transmits to 188 million people in 27 languages, but Korean isn't one of them. Among the broadcasters based in South Korea is the U.S. government-run Voice of America, as well Radio Free Asia, which is funded by grants from Washington and transmits to North Korea for 5 hours a day from a studio in Seoul. Since the United States is still viewed with distrust in North Korea, the BBC, with its unrivaled international reputation for impartiality, has a great opportunity here. The BBC, however, says it has no plans at present to open a Korean service and claimed it is not clear that we would be able to reach anything more than a tiny proportion of the population. But it did say that it was open to the possibility of broadcasting world service to new audiences. U.S. international broadcasting into Iran is being jammed again. In a recent statement, the U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors said the jamming may be connected with demonstrations and mass arrests on October 3rd, which saw Iranians protesting the plummeting value of Iran's rial currency. The BBG says recent interference began on October 3rd, affecting signals from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Radio Farda, and Voice of America's Persian service. It says the interference also affected other U.S. international programs carried by Eutelsat satellites, including Georgian, Armenian, and Balkan language broadcasts. For these and other news stories, visit the Kim Andrew Elliott blog. You can find a link to it at the PCJ website, which is www.pcjmedia.com. Just scroll to the bottom of the homepage and you'll find it there. That's the news in media for this week. I'm Paulette McQuarrie.
Heard on the World Radio Network, Sky Digital in the UK, Sirius XM in North America, and on great partner stations everywhere. Now, I know what you're saying. Keith, you sound like you're speaking inside a tin can. What happened? Your voice sounds different. Well, that little beep should give you a little bit of a notice. It's because right now, you're hearing my voice through a receiver that we're going to be reviewing today. Not just a receiver, but also a transceiver. As you know, from time to time we do radio reviews. So I thought we'd break out of the normal mode and review a UHF-VHF transceiver. It's a transceiver made by Baofeng, and it's called the UV-5R. Now, a few weeks ago, I was looking for decent, inexpensive handheld transceiver that I can use here in Taiwan, and I came across this one. And I have to tell you, I was shocked. I was surprised. It was so good, or I should say it is so good, that I decided to get an extra one, send it off to our own propagation expert, Dan Hensley, have him play with it for a few days so we can do a review. So, Dan Hensley is now standing on the line. Dan, hello.
Well, hello, Keith. Good to hear from you.
Now, Dan, you've had the UV-5R now for a little while. What are your first impressions? First, what was your impression when you took it out of the box?
When I took it out of the box, my first impression was that this is a well-built rig. It looked like it was built sturdily and it was well-made. The keys were easy to read. They were really, to me, self-explanatory. I picked up on it pretty quickly.
What's actually interesting about it, first of all, we should mention that, you know, a lot of people think that handheld transceivers are like, you know, $100, $150, $200. But this is not the case with this one. This one is, depending on where you buy it from, starting at around $49 all the way up to $69. So it's quite affordable. What about the performance?
Well, when I first turned it on and inserted the battery prior to turning it on, the performance was wonderful. I mean, I was able to scan through VHF and UHF. I discovered very quickly how to get the FM broadcast band on. The audio was nice and crisp and clear. I noticed the receiver. Although I live in an RF-rich environment, this radio does have a good DSP filter in it. And I got some interference, but it was very minimal and did not compromise the receive performance nearly at all.
So for FM reception, if somebody's really interested in FM DX, it's a very good performing radio then.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, let's move on to what the radio is really meant for, because I don't know about you, but I've been checking out some of the other reviews online, and everybody loves this radio, but they say one of the things that they find difficult is programming the radio.
Well, that's because I think everybody's gotten used to the, you know, going to the VFO and then just going through the various menus of these newer higher-end HTs where you can just automatically, you know, the repeater shift is just automatically set, and all you have to do really is just set your PL or your CTCSS or your DCS tones or your 1750 hertz burst, and you're fine to go. This one does require you actually to go into the menu, set your repeater shift, and then set your PL tone or your DCS or your 1750 hertz, and then you hit menu, then you hit menu again, and you'll hear it say receiving memory. Then what you do is you hit the button to get out of memory, and then you hit the memory button again, and it'll say something along the lines of programming memory or transmitting memory, and you can actually set the channel you want that memory on. It goes from 000 all the way through the top programmable memory in the radio. So while you're doing that, I mean, it gives you actually power to do what you want. And I think the reason Baofeng did this is because this radio is part 90 and 97 certified by the FCC. And it can be used internationally. You have one in your hands in Taipei. So every country does their amateur repeater shifting differently. And the frequencies are different in different ITU regions. So it's really flexible that way.
So really, this is the kind of radio that if somebody, let's say, is traveling and can transfer their license, let's say, to another country while they're visiting, they can also use the radio in that country.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the wonderful thing about the flexibility of this radio is you can take it overseas and use it.
Can you do that normally with this type of transceiver?
Normally, no, unless you have a piece of commercial gear, which would usually require you to have a programming cable and the software for the rig, and it just is not as easy to deal with. This, you can deal with almost everything from the memory or from the keypad in the menu section.
Now, let's say somebody is a novice, and this is the first one that they've gotten hold of. They just got their license. If you were to rate it on a scale, let's say, from 1 to 10 for it being easy, where would you put it? If somebody was, say, they just got interested and they just got hold of one.
I would say it provides the learning curve that a person needs to actually work with a piece of radio gear. They should learn manually, I think. That's my opinion, before they go and try to use the higher-end HTs with the more complicated memories there, or the more complicated menus, and have to deal with all that. It really teaches you about programming radios and radio functions on these HTs, and it gets you familiar, and there's no replacement for that.
So on a scale from 1 to 10, what do you put it at?
I would put it, if 10 was the best for a learner to have, I would give it a 10.
Now, you've had it for a little while now. Have you been able to connect up to, say, any of the repeaters in your area?
Yes, I have, and the transmitted audio reports on my end that I've received have said that the audio is not too hot and it's not too low.
Let me ask you, Dan, where you are, what are the bands that you cannot use as a radio amateur?
You cannot use anything outside of the amateur radio frequencies for your license privileges. I'm a general, so I have certain HF privileges. Technicians have certain HF privileges as well as the entire FM band, with the exception of 10-meter FM. That's for generals and higher. So from 2 meters and 70 centimeters, 2 meter running from 144 to 148 megahertz, and then 70 centimeters from 420 to 450 megahertz, which is what this radio covers, a 2 meter and 70 centimeter band. You cannot transmit outside of those bands on this rig legally.
Now, let me ask you, if somebody out there was looking for an inexpensive scanner, would you recommend this radio?
I would not, only because there's no way to prevent transmitting on those frequencies. I mean, even with the repeater shift turned off, even without the CTCSS or DPL tone on, or any other, you know, the 1750 Hertz tone, even without any of that stuff set, you're still transmitting on the frequency if you hit the PTT by accident, you know, the receiver or another radio on that frequency that's in that area can and will hear you, or will somehow be detected. And there are a ton of public safety frequencies in my area. Almost everything is allocated either to public service works or public safety, transportation, you know, things like not just public transportation, but the taxis and the limos and aviation transport, and aviation ground operations use UHF and VHF. So I would not recommend it as a scanner unless there was a way to lock out transmit on those frequencies.
Tell you a funny thing actually that just happened. I know somebody here, and they called for a taxi on theirs, and the taxi guy arrived.
Oh wow!
All right, Dan. Final question. Overall, if you had to rate this radio on a 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, what would your number be?
I would say for the price it's paid, for the features available on the radio, for the radio's intent and design, I would give it a 10.
All right, thank you very much, Dan Hensley. Dan will be back later on the program for this week's propagation forecast. But if you want more information about the Baofeng UV5R UHF VHF transceiver, check out our Facebook page, and we'll have a picture of it as well as some other notes and where you can buy it from. And like I said, it's not too expensive. Depending on the retailer, it could be between $55 and $70. And for that price, you really can't go wrong. And if you're into FMDX, like we just said, go and pick it up. It has great FM reception. You're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. And, of course, there's a number of ways you can contact us, like this one, as Bob Zanotti tells us.
Call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399, and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.
That's right, call the PCJ answer line right now, and your message may be used on the program. Now, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Radio Canada International. As you know, Radio Canada International left the bands a couple of months ago, but they sort of returned, not through RCI, but actually through us. On September the 22nd, we started a special series of relays of Radio Canada International's The Link, which used to be a program that aired Monday to Friday. It's now only a weekly 30-minute program. The dates that we broadcast the program were the 22nd of November, 29th, October 6th, and this weekend, October the 13th. But we've decided to extend it for another 2 weeks. And the reason is because, well, actually, there's been quite a big response from it, actually. So the link from Radio Canada International will be relayed by us until October 27th. After that date, who knows? Maybe we might continue with it. The times are to the Caribbean and Latin America at 3 hours UTC on 9955 kilohertz. That's 9955 kilohertz at 3 hours UTC. And then to the Pacific at 14 hours UTC on 5860 kilohertz. That's at 14 hours UTC on 5860 kilohertz. Now, if you check out the many blogs and forums about international broadcasting, you've probably seen some other times as well. The only thing I will say is nothing. I'm not going to say anything right now. But anyway, who knows? Maybe we will continue with it since the response has been very good. Now, what do you look out for? Well, it begins with Radio Canada International's interval signal for about 10 seconds. The link comes on with Carmel Kilkenny, Wojtek Gwiazda, and Mark Montgomery. And then it ends with the postal address for RCI and the email address. So check it out. You can find the details at our website and also at our Facebook page, which I'll give out later on at the program. Now, speaking of upcoming programs that we have coming up, as you know, at the beginning of August, I spent 1 week in Bali Island in Indonesia. And while I was there, I had a chance to record a lot of domestic radio. So we're going to be doing a little special on what domestic radio is like in Indonesia, in particular Bali. Now, to give you a little sampling of what it's like, let's take a listen to this.
Ya, sambil Anda menunggu rasakan untuk tiba menuju tempat peraduan, ataupun hari ini Anda masih disibukkan dengan tugas-tugas harus lembur, mudah-mudahan semuanya dapat Anda kerjakan dengan baik.
Berpikir bijak dengan gaya hidup sehat. 98.9 Bali FM, Radio Pendidikan dan Kesehatan di Bali.
Maju tambah sombong. Nah, kalau bangkrut baru mendekati saya.
Sorry ya Bu, walaupun bagaimana masalah lama tak akan terulang. Sekarang kan saya sudah bergabung dengan BPR Paris Mandiri. Mau minjam gampang, mau nabung pun makin gampang. Apalagi ada hadiahnya.
Iya, PT BPR.
Halo, pembawa. Hai 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 Indah Sesetan. Indah Sesetan,
loh, kirim mana?
Kirim salam buat orang yang di kirim salam buat orang yang Tabanan yang udah bikin aku galau po.
Boleh,
buat
boleh.
Kakak salam cuap-cuap. Lagu ikut aja deh, matur thanks.
Oke, okay, matur thanks juga buat kamu.
Ya.
Ada siapa lagi malam hari ini? Selamat malam Bali.
Malam Bali.
Malam Bali.
Kamu
dengan siapa?
Ya?
Oh, kamu tadi sudah pulang ya? Baiklah kalau
ketika mimpimu begitu indah tak pernah terwujud, ya sudahlah. Saat kau berlari mengejar anganmu dan tak pernah sampai, ya sudahlah. Apapun yang terjadi, ku kan selalu ada untukmu. Janganlah kau bersedih, 'cause everything's gonna be okay.
Well, you can say that was a little bit of a teaser of the special program that we're going to be doing on radio on Bali Island in Indonesia, and that's coming up in the next few weeks, including another installment of our lengthy interview with Andy Sennett. As you know, we did an interview that, well, it lasted more than 1 hour, and we're not going to bring it all at one time. We're going to bring it in snips and pieces, so very soon we're going to be bringing you part 3 of that interview. To find out when, well, just follow our Twitter or, you know, our website, which I'll give later on in the program. All right, now, Dan Hensley was just here a moment ago to talk about a receiver. For those who have regular receivers and want to do some listening over the next 7 days, of course, propagation plays a very, very important role. So what can we expect in terms of propagation? Well, actually, I have to admit, personally, propagation, especially here in Asia, has been a little bit dodgy. It really has been a little bit dodgy. Certain BBC frequencies, for example, that normally come in booming, have been rather difficult to hear. And a couple of days ago, Radio Australia was practically non-existent. It was very faint in the background. But today, Friday, October 12th, the day that we're recording the program, it has returned back to normal. Anyway, here's our own Dan Hensley with what we can expect for the next little while. Dan?
Here's propagation for the week from October 13th to October 19th, 2012. The 10.7 centimeter flux starts off on October 13th at 100, rising steadily throughout the week. October 14th, 110. October 15th, 120. October 16th, 130. October 17th and 18th, 140. The final spike of the 10.7 centimeter flux on October 19th is 145. The A index will be 5 on October 13th and 14th. October 15th, we'll see a spike at 8. October 16th, a dramatic spike to 12. October 17th, dropping down 2 points to become 10. October 18th and 19th, an A index of 5. The KP index is 2 October 13th and 14th. October 15th through the 17th brings us a KP index of 3. October 18th to 19th, a KP index of 2. A sunspot currently located on the far side of the sun is about to emerge over the sun's southeastern limb. This sunspot is crackling with M-class solar flares and could bring a significant uptick in solar activity. As of October 10, 2012, for the third day in a row, geomagnetic storms are circling the poles. In North America, auroras have spilled across the Canadian border, descending as far south as Utah, Colorado, Kansas, and Nebraska. The storms were instigated by a CME strike on October 8th, and they should have been re-energized by a solar wind stream due that was predicted to have hit Earth's magnetic field on October 10th. NOAA forecasters estimated a 40% chance of strong geomagnetic storms from October 10th to October 11th. Sunspots 1585 and 88 are passing out of view, with 1586 and 89 in view. One coronal hole has been observed on the solar disk in the south-southeast region of the sun. Back to you, Keith.
Thank you very much, Dan Hensley, for this week's propagation forecast. Well, guess what? We are now out of time. If you wish to contact us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to this program again, as well as catch all past editions, by going to our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. Also, check us out on Facebook. Just do a search for PCJ Media or PCJ Radio, and follow us on Twitter. But you can find all that information at our main site, pcjmedia.com. So, today we're going to end with a little bit more music from Indonesia, like we heard a moment ago. So, on behalf of Paulette McQuarrie and Dan Hensley, this is Keith Powell wishing you well, hoping we'll see you again in 7 days' time. 73s to you all, and 88 to the ladies.
Keramahan cinta tak pernah kau dapat. Ya sudahlah, yeah, dengar ku bernyanyi. La 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 la, hey yeah 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 yeah. Dudu 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 dudu. Semua ini